Okay, all right. Up and running. I've been borrowing my spouse's recorder. Is it identical? No, she's got a better one. But I bought a new one today at Best Buy, and I'm not sure this was the Best Buy. Oh, there it is. There's a power switch. All right. Anyway, I will figure this out at some point. If not right now. Come on, baby. I got nothing. On. Record. Stamp in frustration. Okay. All right. So, pretty good. Thank you, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for clicking in, those of you who had a chance to do that. Those who have not clicked in yet, don't worry. We're gonna get your clicker number one way or the other. I just wanted to get some of these early, so I'm going to stop this now before we go around again. All right. I've got some lecture stuff for today and some demos and some quicker questions, so I really should get moving here. Let's see where to start. So, okay, very good. Before we get going, any questions, anything that I need to know that I might not know? I don't forget. Turn on glasses. I experienced a brand new failure mode. There's all these pieces, and each time I do the class, there's like another thing I have to connect. But the thing I forgot today was the power cord, and my computer was out of power. And it was going to make the lecture very short, really, actually. But I did manage to get someone to lend me a power cord just before class. That was scary. All right, so I think what I'd like to do, I promised that I would have like homework and quiz questions and stuff up over the weekend. I don't, so I was wrong. I'm sorry. You guys can take off points from me at the final. I will continue to endeavor to try to attempt to get that going. But in the meantime, why don't I ask a couple questions so you can get back into your head what we were talking about last time. We talked about this mini-game game, and if you remember how this goes, you should be able to solve this little problem. So let me get the picture up, and we'll get our clickers moving, and we're going. We can decide to take one or two away. If there were four left, it was our turn. We would take one away to get it down so that there'd be three, because then if the other player takes one or two, we can take two or one and take the last one and win the game. So if there's four, we would take one away so that we could get down to a multiple of three. And that trick continues to work no matter how many objects there are. So in this case, there's seven objects. We can take one away to get down to six, which is a multiple of three. And that will force it so that no matter what the other player does in the next round, we can get down to three, which will force it so that whatever the player does in the next round, we can get down to zero and win the game. So the answer to this one should be A, take one away. Cool. What would be a situation in which you'd want to take two away? How many, if there's, so the answer would have been B if there had been how many objects? Yeah, okay. Eight would have been one example of that, because if there's eight, we take two, that gets us down to six, which is a multiple of three, so we're going to win. What about C? Could there be a situation in which Doesn't matter how many we take, we're going to win no matter what. Sure, go ahead again.
Three on their turn.
If it's three on their turn, so wait, no. Well, we can't take any away if it's their turn. So if it's our turn, I don't think there's a way to do that. I don't think there's any situation where, no matter what we do, we're gonna win the game. Because if we take... Yeah, if we don't get down to a multiple of three, then the other player is going to be able to get us down to a multiple of three and can force a win. So we have to. So I don't think C could ever happen. What about D? Could there be a number of... Assuming the other player plays intelligently, is there any situation where it sort of doesn't matter what we do, we can't win? Yeah, go ahead. If there's three, for example, in fact, any multiple of three... We take one, the other player takes two, and we're down to multiple three again. We take two, the other player takes one, and we're down to multiple three again. So those are the different possible situations. In this case, because there were seven, the answer is we want to take one away. All right, so let's try this guy. All right, so... This is similar to one that I asked last time, the question I asked last time. Except this time, instead of filling it in with truths and falses, I have X, Y's, and Z's. Actually, just Y's and Z's. But I told you what they were. Y is true and Z is false. So given that, what does that expression evaluate to? True or false?
Either it's true or it's not true. Of course that's true.
Y, parenthetical construction. False or true, that's going to be true. So now we've got not true, which is false, and false. So false and false is false, so we're done. Okay? Now I know some people were rushed at the end, so I don't expect that was 100%, but... One-third, yeah, I was expecting a couple more people to get that one right. Oh, we did get some E's in there, thank goodness. All right, so... So here's, yeah, you have a question?
So, you say that not on outside, so the end, like, doesn't distribute,
right? Right, so, so not, distributing of knots, you have to use De Morgan's law. That's kind of tricky. I'm going to do that in a second. But the knot here, it connects to the thing in parentheses, the big, the largest thing in parentheses. Right, so knot, it's kind of like negation in regular algebra. It binds pretty closely to whatever, in fact, it binds maximally closely to whatever is near.
So oh, I see. So that whole thing is in one big parentheses, though, like from...
The there's this guy, this paren, matches this paren.
Oh, okay, that's what I was
saying. Okay. So it is easy to get lost in the syntax of it.
Oh yeah, one more question.
Shoot.
So you can have like a million ors and one and then will that negate like all the ors and the last condition is like false and then one?
It's all you're always oring or anding two things together. So you can't really have a million ors and then and have that be one unit.
So well, like.
But you can have a big complicated thing and false, and it's dead. It's false. It has to be false. It's like. Big complicated expression of x plus or minus square root of b squared minus 4ac over 2a times 0. Right? It all goes away.
Yeah. Right.
Can there be a number so large that even 0 can't make it 0 when it's multiplied? Alright, so here, but I wanted to do one extra thing with this example. So I noticed something. I made this up completely at random, but it has an interesting property that I'd like to show you. So let's say for a moment that we don't know what z and y are. They might be, one might be true, the other might be false, but we don't know yet. It turns out we can still do some work on this, even before we're told whether z and y are true and false. So, in particular, watch this. So, what do we know about this expression? Y or not y?
It's always true.
It's always true. Does anybody know what that's called if you've taken some logic or something before? You may have seen this word. Truism is, yeah, that's, truism is a good word for it. That actually works. There's another one, though.
Tautology.
Tautology, right. So tautology is something that no matter how you assign the variables to it, it's always going to turn out to be true. And tautologies are really important in logical deduction. So philosophy classes will teach this sometimes. But the important thing here is that y or not y, this is true. So this whole expression, really, you can rewrite as z or not y, or z or true. Okay.
Just because we have the true or not true there.
No, we don't know whether y, it doesn't matter whether y is true or false. Y or not y is always true. Because if y is false, that's false or true.
Yeah. It's true.
Or if y is true, then it's true or it doesn't matter, it's going to be true. So this is a cute little expression because it sort of, it self-destructs. It turns into true. But now look what happens here. Can anybody see anything else that we can do at this point that simplifies things? Now that we've made this into true, we have this expression here. Now z can be either true or false, but this expression has to be true. Because anything or true is true. So it's getting smaller still. Over that corner. I'm going to look at that corner. Just ignore everyone else's moment. So we've got some complicated expression, we don't know what it is, but we're ORing it with truth. I can swear that it came from everywhere but that corner.
It's true.
Thank you. All right. So, right, wow, what an insight. So that's true. So this whole expression, even though it's big and complicated, we don't know what's going on, this all is just going to turn into true. The fun continues. Well, not true. We can do that right now. That's false. So this whole expression is really false and z. So z can be either true or false, but false and z has to be false. Right? As soon as you have a false and in there, the game is over. So this is false. You don't even have to tell me what y and z are. We're done. Woo-hoo. That's kind of funny. Maybe funny is the wrong word. These sorts of things do happen, though. And sometimes it's really useful to start simplifying these expressions. In this case, I guess if you have done these steps correctly, now substituting in y and z and figuring out what the answer is becomes much easier. Just ignore it and just say the answer is always false. All right, I think this is the last one. You thought that was fun. All right, so just to remind you, I talked about these relays last time. What I thought was a hard question last time was switches, and what is the output of the switch going to be depending on what the input switches are for the light bulb. In this case, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to put X into the true position. I'm going to turn that one on. I'm going to leave Y off. And remember how these relays work. They let through whatever's on the bottom line, if there's power or not power, they let it through as long as the top wire is off. But if the top wire is on, it shuts off the bottom switch and the output's always going to be false or no electricity. So the question is, if I put down the X switch, what will the light bulb be on, off? Can't tell. So that's what I wrote. I said X is true, Y is false. In other words, we leave Y open, we close X, and then what happens next? You can make yourself dizzy with these relays, but I think with two of them, if you're methodical, you can trace it out, see what happens. All right, we're winding down. When we put the X into the on position, which is what it says we do, X is true, Y is false, it's going to put power into that relay, which breaks the contact in the second switch, the switch inside the relay, which means there's going to be no power flowing to the top wire in the second relay, which means its switch will stay closed. However, it's closed, which is great, so let things flow through, but Y is in the off position, so no power even comes through that. So, in fact, it sort of doesn't matter what's going on with X. The light bulb's not going to go on. Is that right? Is that what other people thought? Yeah, pretty much. Cool. Can anybody tell what logical function this is actually implementing? I haven't thought that through. Is it an AND? So if X is down and Y is down, so when Y is off, Z is going to be off. But if Y is on, then the only way to get this to flow is if X is also on. So yeah, this would be an AND gate. Who said that? Yeah? No? You don't think it is an AND?
If X is on,
it turns that off, right? And this one needs to be off for the power to flow through it. So yes, this is an AND gate. In fact, this is probably, is this the exact circuit that I used in class? It may be the same one that I used in class. All right. I'm going to pass on this one. Listen, anyone, is anyone desperate to solve this problem? Would you admit it?
Probably would admit it.
All right. So, great. All right. So then I'm going to pop back into lecture mode, if everybody's okay with that. I just want to say one more thing. At the end of the last lecture, I very quickly showed you a video of a contraption that I built out of Legos and another one out of dominoes that acts like logic gates. I think it's an interesting question. Okay, it was an interesting question to me to say, okay, if I can build a logic gate out of dominoes, and computers are just built out of lots and lots of logic gates, I could build, in principle, a computer entirely out of dominoes. So what would that be like? So the OR gate that I showed, it took 24 dominoes set up just so to make my OR gate. The first Pentium computer chip had 3.3 million transistors, which turns out to be about 800,000 gates, OR gates and AND gates and NOT gates. So when you multiply it out, maybe you need about 19 million dominoes if you wanted to build a replica of the first Pentium chip. The largest number of dominoes that I was able to find, the world record for domino toppling, a group of people, I think college students on break all went to like Sweden or something like that. They spent all weekend. They set up 4 million dominoes. It's very compelling. I have a link to it on the syllabus now. If you go to the website for today's class, there's a link, a YouTube video of one of the things they did. It had some rock and roll theme, and there was like dominoes being record players, and oh, you know what those are? They're kind of like CD players except exposed. And just the whole it was just this crazy thing. Anyway, that was about 4 million dominoes. So you know, only four times that. Five times that, and you get a computer. The thing is that Pentium does its computation 6 million times a second. So it's like all the dominoes fall over and then get reset and then fall over and get reset 60 million times every second. So it's not a weekend to set it up and then, you know, have 10 minutes for everything to fall down and then they set it up again. Yeah, in principle, one could build a computer out of dominoes, but in practice, it maybe is not. Maybe we should just stick with what is working at the moment, which are silicon chips. All right, so I welcome you to go and check out the domino video online. Very cute. All right, but now that we've got the rudiments of logic gates, we can start combining them together and get more and more interesting and sophisticated stuff. So that leads us right into chapter 2, which is entitled Universal Building Blocks. So what I'd like to do is step you through a couple different kinds of gates. So now the basic idea is this. Look, we talked through how you could use wires and electricity and relays to make OR gates, things that little group of circuitry that as current flows in on two different wires, if one or the other of them has current, then the output will have current. Otherwise, neither will have right. Otherwise, it won't have current on the output. And we also talked about how you'd make an AND gate, something that it's just a group of circuitry that we're now going to ignore except for it's happening on the inside, except for what it does on the outside, sorry. That two wires coming in, and if both of them have power, then there'll be power on the output, otherwise there won't be. So given that we can wire that up when we need to, we can start using those as building blocks for building larger things. Yeah?
So that's what those little like square things on the computer chip are?
Like when you look at a diagram of it?
No, like at an actual like computer chip. That's a little
like a black rectangle thing.
Yeah.
So those probably have tens of millions of gates on them. Yeah, transistors. Yeah. So each one of back in the day, before they had these what are called integrated circuits, where everything's all in one place, you had to buy individual components, and you could buy a component that was like five or six AND gates. Like they had a bunch of wires coming in and out of it, and these two wires and this wire would act like an AND gate because all the circuitry on the inside was doing the AND computation. But now they shrunk them and shrunk them and shrunk them, and now there's millions and millions of them all in one little black rectangle. And then a computer consists of a bunch of those all wired together at various places. But the idea that I'd like to get across, though, is you know inside each of these little rectangles is a little bit of circuitry. But now we're going to draw slightly bigger rectangles that include that circuitry plus some other circuits to do other kinds of functions. So the first thing that I've drawn here is, well, you can talk about an AND 3 gate. An AND gate takes two inputs, and the output is true if both of the inputs are true. An AND 3 gate takes three inputs, And the output is true if all three of the inputs are true. Right? Simple enough idea. And you can make one of those out of AND gates, just like that, by taking the first two and computing the AND of those using an AND gate, which we know how to do. So we'll just draw it as a little black box. And then we can take the output of that and AND it with the third input to get the output. All right? So to AND the three things together, we just say, OK, well, first we'll AND the first two, and then we'll take the output of that, AND it with the last one, and we're done. So now, we never have to talk about how you do ANDing of three things together, because we've already said how to do it. We've reduced the problem to a simpler problem that we've already solved. You can do the same thing with OR gates. There's lots of different ways you can do this, but you've got four inputs. An OR 4 gate says the output is true if any of the four inputs are true. And so one way to do that is by taking the first two inputs, computing the OR, are either of those on, yes or no? How about the second two? Are either of those on, yes or no? Well, if either of those is true, then the output is true. So we just take three OR gates, wire them together like that, and we get an OR 4 gate. All right? So these aren't meant to be super taxing or complicated, but I'm trying to ease you into this idea of, now that we've got a little box that does OR, because, and we could look inside of it, and there's a couple relays, actually, OR we could just do with wires, but the AND gate, there's just a couple relays and wires and things, but now we don't care the details of it. There's a bunch of ways you can make an AND gate or an OR gate. It doesn't matter anymore. We're just going to use that to solve a larger problem. All right, so these are pretty simple. I'd like to work up now to a slightly more complicated one. If-then-else. So computer scientists care a lot about if-then-else, because a lot of what computers do are they wait for certain conditions to become true, and if they're true, then it does something. But if they're not true, maybe it'll do something else. Right? So that's if, then, else. So what we'd like to work up to is a gate that takes in three inputs. If the first one's true, then the output is whatever the second one is. But if the first one's false, the output's whatever the third one is. So it's going to kind of choose who to let through. I kind of did one of these this morning when I was driving because there was a big truck parked in my lane, and there were people standing out with flags saying, you know, we're going to let the cars in this lane go through. Nope, now we're going to let the cars in this lane go through. So they were acting like a, I want to say like a traffic cop, but I guess that is exactly what they were being. And so this if-then-else is going to act like a traffic cop. There's going to be one input that decides which of the other inputs gets to be the output. Is that clear enough? I'm in danger of repeating myself over and over again the same way if I don't get something back. So I'll do a concrete example. So you can think of this as a kind of like a Boolean expression that takes three inputs now instead of two. So here's one concrete example. If true, then true, else false. This evaluates to true, because what's going on here is we say, well, if this first thing is true, then the answer is whatever's in this position. If the first thing is false, then the answer is in whatever's this position. All right, so now you try one. If false, then true, else true. So what is this? goes like this. If A, then B, else C. So let's say that A is true, and B is false, and C is true. What is this expression? I don't know. Two of them are true, one of them is false. Seems like true wins the vote. No? You think it's false anyway? Right? So this one's false because it says if A is true, then use this answer. If A is false, then use this answer. So in this case, A is true. This answer is false. So the final answer is false.
If A is true, then use B. If A is false, then use C. Okay.
Right. So it's asking, this is the question, this is the thing we're asking about. And depending on the answer to this question, we can go one way or the other. So you can think of it like a train track switcher, right? So you've got B flowing in through this track and C flowing in through this track, and then A is sitting here deciding which of these gets to go by. If A is true, then B gets to go by. If A is false, then C gets to go by. And this becomes the outcome. Alright? I hear more ah sounds. You're not so sure yet? You're fuzzy still. So here, you tell me what to make A, B, and C, and I'll tell you what the answer is.
Make A false, B true, C true.
Okay? So here's how I think about this. If A, it was A true or false, A is false, that means we're going to do the else clause. The else clause, C, which in this case is true, so the output is true. So if it's Tuesday, wear my black shoes, otherwise wear my brown shoes. Right? So first you have to ask, is it Tuesday or not? Once you know whether or not it's Tuesday, it's not Tuesday. Once you know it's Tuesday or not, you know which of these other places to look for the answer. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how to build a circuit that does this using things that we have lying around. What do we have lying around? We've got ands and ors and nots. We have or threes. Or fours and threes. We could build other things like that. But we're going to work up to how to actually build a circuit for that particular function. So let me ask you this one first. So this is a highly simplified one. The input is going to be A. The output is going to be some variable D. And we want it to do the following. If A is true, we want the output to be true. Otherwise, we want the output to be false. Okay? So if we're going to write this as an expression, it's going to be something like D equals, and then some expression involving A and maybe ands and ors and nots if we need them. Okay? So what would be an expression that captures this relationship between A and D? D equals what? What function of A? Now you could write it with ifs and thens, but I'm saying no. We don't know how to do ifs and thens yet. All we know how to do at this point are ands and ors and nots. So D equals
not A.
So that would mean if A is true, D is false, and if A is false, D is true. Which is close, but backwards. Here's what I'm going for. In this case, it's very simple. The output D is exactly A. Right? So if A is true, the output is true, yes? Right? If A is true, then D is true. Otherwise, the output is false, right? If A is false, then the output is false. That was maybe too easy. But I think the thing that's hard here is not the question. Well, maybe. It's not the answer. It was the question. I think that people haven't quite wrapped their head around exactly what it is I'm trying to ask yet. What if we had to... Well, maybe... You did such a nice job with the circuit the other day. What if we had to draw this as a circuit? So we want to make a circuit where A comes in and D comes out, and we have to fill in the box so that it has the following property. If A is true, then the output should be true. Otherwise, if A is false, the output should be false. How would we make a circuit that look like that? What do I need to put in this box? What kind of thing?
Well, the box would just be like a wire and a switch.
A wire like this?
Anything.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, like a wire like that. Yeah, so really just the input flows directly from the output in this case. Now, you were talking about switches. You might, I mean, A might be implemented as a switch, but we don't care about that right now. All we care about is power is coming over this line. How it got there is not really our concern. We just want to make a box so that if power is coming over this line, then power is flowing over this line. So it's just, she's just wired them directly together. D equals A is this circuit. It's not an interesting circuit, but we're gonna hair it up a little bit as we go. Alright, so here's the next hairier version. Now we're going to have two things coming in, A and B, and we're going to output one thing, D. And we want it to have the following property. If A is true, then we want the output to be whatever B is. Otherwise, we want the output to be false. All right? So let me draw this for those who want to think visually. So we're going to create some kind of circuit box with two wires going into it, representing two inputs, A and B, and one wire flowing out of it, representing D. And we want it to have the property that if A is true, if there's power flowing over this line, then whatever is happening on B should be happening to D. Like, if A is true, we want the electricity to just come directly from B to D. But if A is false, then we want this to be off. False. Not going to happen. Okay? So what can we put inside this box to make the circuit act like that? No, there's no switches, right? Because this is all hands-free. It's all being controlled by whatever power is on A and B going down to D. So if we put a switch in there, then basically we're in the circuit, right? We have to look at A and B, and we decide, and then we throw the switch. But we're trying to make this thing act on its own. Any other thoughts? What do you think? Like a Y. Oh, like connected like this?
Yeah.
All right, so what would this, let's think this through. What would this do? So this is saying, if there's power on A, then there'll be power on D. If there's not power on A, well, then it'll be whatever B is. If B has power, then this will have power. If B doesn't, then it'll have power. This is an OR gate, essentially, by wiring it like that. And that doesn't quite, that's not really what we want. We want, if A is true, it should be whatever B is. And now, in this circuit, whatever A is, if A is true, B doesn't matter anymore. So that's not what we want.
So what are we trying to draw?
You can use AND gates, OR gates, NOT gates. Like that. Relays, if you must, but I don't think anybody wants to think about those. I mean, essentially, if we drew, say, like a NOT gate in here, what we're really drawing is, inside this, there's all kinds of relays and things. Actually, there's one relay and a power draw on it, okay? But we already showed how to do that, so we don't have to figure that out again. We can always just copy into here whatever we had in the previous lecture for a NOT gate. So anything that we've already figured out, we can put in this box. So here, let me try it another way. Recycling, that's right. We're saving the chalk trees of the Amazon. Alright, so. Okay, not very much of the chalk trees. So, the inputs can either be both false, just B is true, just A is true, or both true. And we want the output, let's figure out what is the outputs that we want based on this description. So if both A and B are false, what do we want the answer to be?
False,
right? Because it says if A is true, well, we don't care. Otherwise, D is false. So if A is false, B is false. So this case is also false. What if A is true and B is false? What answer do we want then? False, because if A is true, which it is in this case, we want it to be whatever B is. False. All right, what about this last one? If they're both true, what does it say to do? If A is true, D should be whatever B is. And what's B?
True.
True, right. So, if both of them are true, we want the answer to be true. So this is the relationship that we want between A and B. This looks like something that we've seen before. It's only true in one case. When is it true? When both A and B are true. So what is this? What is it? What are we really asking here? It's a particular relationship between A and B, but it's one that we've seen before.
It's all like dependent on A.
They're both involved. Yes, it's exactly that.
It's stuck in your throat.
It's an and. D is exactly A and B. D is true whenever both A and B are true. Otherwise, it's false. Now, I wrote it in a sneaky way, right? I wrote it in this way where I'm kind of working up to this notion of if-then-else. But, you know, we can see through that. Maybe eventually. If we just, we have to think it through pretty carefully. And this idea of writing up, this is called a truth table. Writing up a truth table like this is a helpful tool in figuring out what's going on. So in this case, once I looked at all the different cases, it became clear that, hey, wait a second, the only time this is true is when both A and B are true. This is actually asking for an and B. So to wire it up as a circuit, now we can slide this guy down again. So to make our special partial if-then box, we just have to take the A and the B, wire them to an AND gate, and output the gate. So that one, once we figured it out, wasn't so bad. What about, here's another one. All right, so the input is now A and C. Oh, completely different. And the output is D, and here's what we want. If A is true, then we want the output to be false. We don't care about that case. But if A is false, we want the output to be whatever C is. This is kind of like the else case that we're worrying about now. So the output D should be whatever C is, unless A is true, in which case we want the output to be shut down, false. Nothing happening. False, but that's not enough, right? Because then the output's going to be whatever C is, and if C is false, the output will be false. So to make it true, we have to do two things, right? We have to make A false so that it doesn't get shut off by the first clause, and we have to make C true so the second clause actually makes D turn out true. So which of these cases are we talking about? A has to be false, and C has to be true. Right, yes, the second one, good. So this is true, and no matter what else you do, you get false. So very similar to the previous one, we have just the one true hanging out on the output, but it's in a different place now. Right? It moved. It used to be down here for and, but now it's all the way up here. So, who can have the insight to figure out what do we do to the box so this gets fixed, so this turns out the way we want it? Two thoughts up there. Why don't people try it on the aisle first?
Attach it not to A.
Not sure how that will help.
No. Like a not box.
Oh, well, my mistake. I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Put a not gate on the A.
And then connect the not gate from A from the C to an AND gate.
To an AND gate?
An AND gate.
An AND gate. I see. So it has the same middle component as the previous example, but we're now treating A the opposite way. So whatever A is, first flip it. Oh, now it looks like an AND. Does that make sense in terms of this table here? If we not A is false, that means A is true. True, true, that was false. If not A is true, that means A is false. So that's false, false. That's false. And if not A is true, that means A is false. False, true, is true. Ah, it's an AND gate again. But it's an AND gate on not A and C. Not A and C. Alright? So this gives us what we want. This is now a circuit. So what does it do? If A is true, the output's going to be false. Why? Because true is going to come in here, it's going to get negated, become a false. Anything ended with false is false. So false comes out the other side. But if A is false, then what's going to happen? False comes in here, it gets turned into a true, and we've got true and C. So that's going to be whatever C is. Right? If C is true, then the output will be true. If C is false, then we've got false and false. Sorry, true and false, and that's going to be false. And that comes to the output. So this does the right trick. It's gating. A is going to gate C only in the case when A is false. All right. And we've gotten those in our heads. We're ready for the big payoff, such as it is. All right. So this is now complete if-then-else gate. The complete if-then-else gate says we're going to take in three inputs. And we're going to output one bit. That bit should be whatever, if A is true, we want the output to be whatever B was. We'll let B go through. But if A is false, we're going to let the output be whatever C is. We'll let C go through. So B controls the output if A is true, and C controls the output if A is false. All right? So how can we do that? And we have pieces of this already kind of lying around. I'm going to make a big truth table now. How many rows is this going to have? This is what we want. It's got, let me just want to shade it in. It's got a true here, and a true here, and a true here. Funny how the chalk erases the chalk. And a true here. Okay? This if then else has a true here, and a true here. And this if then else has a true here, and a true here. So you can see we've got... we've got part of it in this answer, and we've got the other part of it in this answer. So is there some way that we can take those two answers and somehow combine them together and actually get what we want? Right? So we want something that's, okay, these are both false, we want the answer to be false. This one is false, this one's true, we want the answer to be true. This one's false, this one's false, we want the answer to be false. This one's false, this one's true, we want the answer to be true. This one's false, this one's false, we want the answer to be false. This one's false, this one's false, we want the answer to be false. This one's true, this one's false, we want the answer to be true. This one's true, this one's false, we want the answer to be true. Ah, there's a relationship between these two, if you think of them as being inputs, and this, which we want the output to be. What is that relationship? Yeah?
It's an or.
It's an or. Yeah, it's an or. Right. So really, we want the answer to the if-then-else number 2 and the answer to the if-then-else number 3 or together. And that's what we've got. So our output D is A and B. In other words, if A is true, we care about what B is. Or not A and C. If A is false, we care what C is. So in words, it feels very much like, you know, there's movement and there's gating and there's flow and stuff. But really what's going, I mean, another way of looking at it, though, is just this purely logical form where the A being in this clause kind of turns this clause on when A is on. And then not A being in this clause turns this clause on when A is false. So it gets us what we
wanted to express.
Let's see. Okay. All right. So you guys okay with that? More or less? Now, what do I want you to know about that? I wanted you to at least sort of follow the progression. What I'm trying to do is I've got some functionality that I want our circuits to do. And what I'm going to do is try to combine things that I've already got lying around in the right way so that it does that. So ultimately, the circuit for this, how would it have looked? So this was our number 3 circuit. We also had one that took A and B and added them together. So A's input goes to 2 different places. Then the output of these two guys comes together in an OR, and that gets us D, and that's our if-then-else box. So anytime we need if-then-else, we can just say if-then-else. Why? Because we know how to build it out of things that we already had lying around. Reduction. Okay? So, in some sense, you don't have to care anymore. Right? Now, the thing that you need to come away with is, oh, if I need an if-then-else, I can have an if-then-else. And then you can go look it up if actually somebody asked you, okay, well then how would you do that? Well, that's okay. We've got it written down. We know how to do this. It's that expression right here. This gives us if A, then B, else C. Yeah?
Are you going to test this on the lowest levels of reduction all the way up?
So in principle, all the levels are really simple. What's hard is if you have to do it all at one time. So as long as I keep the scope small, I feel okay about asking you those questions. If I said, now, using only wires and relays, make a computer, we're going to do that, actually, but not as a single question. It's always these little steps. And as long as you believe all the steps below you, you can combine them to get the next step up. You don't have to actually. And computer designers don't do this either. They don't think in terms of